If you turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 6, Luke chapter number 6, we find ourselves in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching a group of disciples. And I want you to look with me in verse number 36, just three verses this morning. Verse number 36 of Luke chapter number 6, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." We come to this passage of Scripture, and it begins with a very important principle. The Bible says in verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Today's message is titled, "Be Merciful." Be merciful. God calls on us to be merciful people. And I'll just tell you something. Often we are not. Often we are not. We're not merciful when we get cut off in traffic, and we're not merciful when we have to wait too long in line. We're not merciful when we get put on hold when you call somebody. How many of you get so excited when someone says, "Will you hold, please?" You're not merciful when another telemarketer calls, and sometimes we're not merciful when things aren't going our way. But God calls for us to be merciful. And the idea of being merciful is not the spirit that just lets anybody and everybody run over us, but it's the kind of spirit that says, "Look, I'm going to take the time to make sure that I'm not the problem. And I'm going to make sure that I give people a chance and an opportunity and the benefit of the doubt." Mercy. What's it mean, mercy? Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. The Bible says of mercy, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. My sin condemns me, and because of my sin, I deserve punishment. But the Lord in mercy has taken my punishment away, and I have received the mercy of God, and I don't get what I deserve, and I praise the Lord for it. Merciful Christians are willing to let some things in the lives of people just be okay. And I want to say, just let some things slide. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying excusing away sin and not calling sin sin or being strong about what's right, because you can be merciful and righteous too. But the spirit of mercy is one that should be on all of God's people. You should be merciful with your spouse, and merciful with your children, and merciful with your employees or employer. You should be merciful with the folks that you come in contact with on a daily basis. And God says, like God is merciful, we should be merciful. When's the last time you extended mercy to somebody? Maybe they deserved a good fussing, but you said, "You know what, I'm going to let that slide. I don't know everything that's going on there." In our text today, it begins with the big heading of mercy. And be merciful because your Father, God, is merciful. Be merciful. But then right below that, we actually have a list of things that are actions that cause reactions. And so we have these things, and that God wants us to know. And he says, "Look, I want you to judge not, that you be not judged." If you're a judgmental person, it's going to bring about a reaction. If you're judgmental towards somebody, guess what happens? They're going to be judgmental back. The Bible says that condemn not, so that you're not condemned. If you have the spirit that condemns folks, you're going to have a reaction to your action. And if you condemn folks and have that condemning spirit, then response that you're going to get from other folks is the same. The Bible says, "Forgive, and It shall be forgiven you. If you have a spirit that's forgiven, you get in response to a forgiving spirit forgiveness. Now, this is not something that happens and works 100% of the time, but I'll have you know something. These are principles that God's people should live by, and they do produce good fruit. The Bible says to give, and it shall be given to you. We've got an action that brings about a response. And Jesus speaking to his disciples, and all he wants us to do is know how to better live and get along with folks in our lives. The Lord wants us to know how to live a life that can make an impact in other people's lives. To live a life that is a blessing. To live a life that represents Jesus well. And when we come here, Jesus preaching to his disciples, he says, by all means, be merciful. And note that there are some things you can do that when you act this way, it will produce a reaction in other people that make a difference. Some examples of the way that God made our human nature. If I yawn, other people will yawn. Have you ever noticed that yawning is contagious? Oh, this kid this morning in the early service, he just set it up perfect. I said the word yawn, and about that time he goes, I said, see, I told you so. Yawning is contagious. Now all of you are scared to death. You might yawn. Yawning is contagious. You know something else that's contagious? Smiling. If you look at somebody and you put on a big, fat, cheesy smile, either one of two things will happen. They're going to smile back or they're going to think you've lost your mind. Either way is fine. But it's contagious. It's an action that requires a reaction. But the way we treat people is the same way. And I want to tell you, when I learned this Bible principle without actually knowing it was a Bible principle, I was just a kid. And you know where I learned it? I learned it at school in the lunch line. I learned that if you are merciful to lunch ladies, they will indeed and in fact be merciful back to you. I'll give you an example. I had friends. They walked through the lunch line with their green tray with the little different spots. You know which one I'm talking about. And as soon as they come around the corner to get their food, the first thing they do when they see a tray of food, they go, ew. And you know what happens? That lunch lady immediately, you begin to hurt her feelings. And I watched it happen. And when they did get to something they kind of liked, they're like, ooh, no, I don't want, ooh, I don't, ooh, no. Yeah, I'll take that. When you do finally get to something they want, the lunch lady, because the kid has been a little brat, when she gets to where the spot that she's going to give him something, now, I promise these were good lunch ladies, but she's not going to give him extra. You can be sure of that. That little brat gets only what I'm going to give him. I learned early. I had a few things that motivated me. One motivation was I knew that if it got back to my mama that I wasn't nice to the lunch lady or I snarled my nose or acted bad going through the lunch line, I'd be in trouble with my mama, one. Number two, my Aunt Mutt was a lunch lady too. And if I didn't do just right and treat the lunch ladies right through the line, I knew when I got to the end of the line that she may not give me the ice cream money that she normally was willing to hand out when I got to the end of the line. But I also learned that if I came through the lunch line with the right spirit, with the right attitude, and I said, sure, I'll take whatever you got, thank you. When I did get, I'd smile and be nice. I wasn't trying to get anything, but I'd smile and be nice. I learned that it's just amazing how this works. When I got to what I really liked, I'd say, I really like that. And that lunch lady would go out of her way to make sure that I got as much as her spoonful could possibly hold. And every now and then she'd slip me a little extra too. You see, actions that promote and provoke another action. And that's what this passage is about. The Bible says if Christian people will be merciful and treat people correctly, you're going to like the response that you get. There's a few things to mention here as we look at the text. The first one, number one, is judge not and you'll not be judged. The scripture says in verse 36, here it is. I'm sorry, verse number 37. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, this is the only verse in the Bible that they've ever learned. If you call sin, sin, and just speak the truth in love, the first thing folks are going to say is, judge, the Bible says, judge not, you be not judged. Let me just tell you something. They got this all wrong. When you read the scripture and it says, judge not, you be not judged, that does not mean that we cannot declare something wrong and sinful. That does not mean that you can't make a judgment and decide something is bad or decide that something is good. But the Bible teaches and gives us this, judge not that you be not judged, because it wants to contend against a spirit of judgmentalism. It's kind of interesting because the folks who want to say, the Bible says judge not that you be not judged, you can't make judgments about me, you can't make judgments about me. Yes, we can. In the same text, just a few verses down the page, you find it for yourself. The Bible says that you'll know the tree by its fruit. Do you know what Jesus says in the same chapter of the Bible? He says, when you see fruit on a tree, you can judge what that tree is. And it's referring to the fact that people often bear bad fruit or no fruit at all. And there's an ability to make a judgment. But I'll have you know something. The spirit of this verse, verse number 37, is judge not that you be not judged. This judge not is the spirit of judgmentalism. Now look, there's no room in the Christian life for a judgmental spirit. And what does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you. Jumping to conclusions is judgmental. Assuming the worst without knowing the facts is judgmental. Never giving anyone the benefit of the doubt is judgmental. And God says, look, don't be that kind of Christian. You need to be the kind of Christian who is willing to hear the whole story before you make your decision. You see, there's lots of folks who are terribly judgmental. And unfortunately, Christian people have developed a reputation for being judgmental. Now, look, we should judge things. And you don't have to listen to the preaching at Chilhowee Baptist Church very long to know that we're not afraid to say if the Bible says something is sin, that it is sin. But I'll have you know something. Over and over again, God calls on us to give people the benefit of the doubt and love people and hate sin. The Bible says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. It's a call against a judgmental spirit. We're to give folks the benefit of the doubt. I like this principle. You'll find it familiar. Innocent until proven guilty. Have you ever met somebody that they take one fast look at somebody and one little thing they've ever heard about him is all that they need to make their judgment and cut them off and forget them and never give them a chance? That is judge not. Innocent until proven guilty. We're required to make judgments, but we should make our judgments based on fact. There's a Bible commentator, his name is David Gusick, and he writes and gives us a list of things, and he says it like this. We break this commandment when, number one, we think the worst of others. What's it mean to be judgmental? What does it mean when the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged? When you think the worst of others, when your assumption immediately is the very worst, you're judgmental. And you may have this spirit that says, well, I've been right every time. I don't care if you have been right every time. If you're not willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, you're judgmental, and that's not the spirit of God's people. You're guilty of breaking this commandment when you think the worst of others. You're guilty, number two, of breaking this commandment When we only speak of others' faults. Have you ever been around somebody that just has gotten in the habit of just talking bad about anybody and everybody? Now look, that's a bad habit to get into. I've been around folks that in certain company, they don't have any trouble talking, because they talk about what they found wrong with everybody that they've seen over the course of the last week. Then I'll come into their presence. It's almost like, what do we talk about? I can't talk with the preacher here. Folks get in the habit of beating people up. Let me just tell you something. That is judgmental. And I got to be careful that I don't just take what I heard and run with it and demean and damage somebody else's character and name, because that's the spirit of a judgmental person. God says, judge not. That doesn't mean that when the facts all come out that you can't say, look, that's somebody we need to stay away from. That's somebody that's going to be a bad influence. That doesn't mean you can't make a judgment. It just means that you have to wait and until all the facts are there, until you can prove that what you have to prove is correct. You're guilty of breaking this commandment when you judge an entire life by its worst moments. It's so sad that there's so many people who did something wrong 10 years ago, and half of the public won't give them a chance 10 years later. It's so sad that a family member 20 years ago did something that was terrible and wrong, and no doubt it was. But 20 years later, there's no fellowship and there's no peace and there's no love because of the judgmental nature of the folks around them. It's sad that families are broken up for 30, 40, 50 years over events that most people can't remember the details to. Now, I'll have you know that we're guilty of breaking this commandment when we judge an entire life by its worst moments. We're guilty of breaking this commandment when we judge the hidden motives of others. If you've caught yourself thinking somehow that you know the motive and inside intentions of somebody, you're wrong. If you start one of those things, conversations with me sometime, I may accidentally hurt your feelings. On as many occasions, stories have begun. And sometimes I catch myself and not being as nice as I should be. But the story begins and I'll look at somebody and say this. You don't know that. How could you possibly know that? Or I'll say something like this. How do you know that? When I'm feeling a little nice, I'll say, how do you know that? I need some facts. Prove it. I'm pointing the finger, but I'm reminding myself of how many times I've been guilty of the same. We judge the hidden motives of others. You know, some folks have made lifelong decisions because of the way somebody looked at them. I know they don't like me. You ought to have seen that scowl on their face. Hey, look, that could have been a gas pain. And you're making lifelong decisions about that. Give me a break. Have you ever caught yourself sitting around and thinking through something and the thing you're thinking about, you get caught up into it, and the thing you're thinking about the next, and you're actually making facial expressions in regards to the things that you're thinking about? I've done this. I do this. And it breaks my heart, because I'm just going to tell you, there have been times that I've been judged over a facial expression that had nothing to do with the person that saw the facial expression. That's judgmental. And that's what the Bible means when it says, judge not that you be not judged. I know what he said, but I heard the tone in which he said it. I'm not smart enough to judge my own tones. You're not smart enough to judge mine either. And I'm not smart enough to judge yours. I don't and shouldn't and can't make lifelong judgments based on tone or facial expressions or what I think might be their intention. Let me just tell you something. If you make judgments based on assumptions, the Bible says to you, judge not. You may be guilty of breaking this commandment. If you judge others without considering yourself in the same circumstances, you know, sometimes it's really good to try to put yourself in someone else's shoes for a minute. If you start to think about the details of someone else's circumstances, the details that you know and the details that you don't know, the next thing you know, you may just do what God's called you to do and be merciful. You may be guilty of breaking this commandment if you judge others without being mindful that we ourselves will be judged. Look, I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. It's a really sad day when you get misunderstood. How many of you have ever been terribly misunderstood? Would you raise your hand? Well, isn't that awful? You know what? If a bunch of people, Christian people, decide, I'm just going to do my dead level best not to react and act and misunderstand and hurt people, man, it'll change everything. And the spirit that Jesus wants us to have is be merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Think about that for a minute. The Bible says, judge not. If you don't have this judgmental spirit, you're going to increase the odds that you're not going to be caught in the crosshairs of somebody else's judgmental spirit. Have you ever noticed that a person who, by their nature, has decided to not be judgmental, to have the right spirit, a Christ-like spirit, one that pleases the Lord. Have you ever noticed that that person is hard to judge? That person is a lot harder to hold accountable. That person's a whole lot harder to be angry with. If you know that person has the spirit, that they're just not that way. They're not judgmental like that. They'll make sure they know the facts. It's kind of like, have you ever been around a kid that was mean as the devil, but sweet as sugar? Have you ever met that kid? You got this kid, he's mean as the devil, but he's sweet as sugar. You know what? When that kid that is sweet as sugar and mean as the devil, when that kid does something, it's really hard to hold it against them because of their attitude, because of their spirit. That kid can look at you and say, I love you. And they really mean it, and you know it. And you don't care that they just wrecked your car, you know? It's that spirit. So the Bible says, look, if you have this spirit, this be merciful spirit, judge not, you be not judged. This person that says, look, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. That's the kind of person that's easier to deal with. It's kind of like working with a lunch lady. If you walk up to the lunch line, even if you don't like the mashed potatoes because they came out of a box, if you'll say thank you for the mashed potatoes, the next thing you know, you'll begin to make an influence and an impact, and you'll have the right kind of opportunity. The Bible says, judge not. Verse number two, the second thing is this, condemn not. Look at the Bible says in verse number 37. In verse 37, the Bible says, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. The word condemned is pretty exciting. You know, it's easy to become the kind of people who condemn folks. It's like that person messed up 50 years ago, and I wrote them off. Let me tell you something, there's nothing spiritual about that. There's nothing spiritual about that. Now, God does not tell us to let people abuse us time and time and time again. But God does remind us that as long as someone is alive, there's hope. And if someone confesses their sin, Jesus is able to forgive them. And there's hope for the worst of the worst. Condemn folks. We shouldn't be the kind of person that condemns folks. Condemn not. You know what mercy does? Mercy gives redos. You know, you and I should be the kind of Christians who are willing to give folks a redo. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to set them up for failure again. We may proceed with a little more wisdom or something different, but we should be the kind of Christian who believes that God does not condemn folks while they're still alive. There's still chance. There's still hope. And we should be the kind of Christian who does it. Mercy does not condemn folks. Condemn not. The Bible says it like this. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Look, don't get in the habit of writing people off. The Bible says to condemn not. Number three, the Bible says, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Boy, I love the word forgive. This is kind of fun. I looked up the word forgive, and the original word is translated as forgive many times in the Bible, but it's also translated in the Bible a few different ways. Now, this is fun to think about. What does it mean to forgive? A lot of folks say forgive and forget. Look, there are things that I've had to forgive that I'll never forget. But the Bible says forgive, and the word forgive is also translated release. I think that's so fun to think about. Forgiving is when you just release it. You say, look, I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm just going to release it. Another way that the word forgive is translated is let go. Just let go. Dismiss is another way it's translated. Detain no longer. Let it go. You know why we hold on to things instead of forgiving things? It's because we hope maybe somehow down the road, if we hold on to it, we'll be able to use it to pound that person in the head. That is not merciful. And that's not how God wants us to live. It's no way to live. The Bible says forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Look, it's nice to be around a forgiving person. And I'll just tell you something. It's easy to forgive forgiving people. Have you noticed that? You see, the person you have a hard time forgiving is the person you know has no regrets about how bad they've done you. You're right. But in your unforgiveness, you are becoming that same person who is nearly impossible to forgive because you've got a dirty, rotten, not merciful spirit. And God says, hey, forgive. Forgive and it'll be forgiven you. Forgiving people are easy to forgive. God, help us to rise to that occasion. The Bible says be merciful. And finally, number four. The Bible says, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. The Bible calls for Christian people to be generous. The Bible calls for Christian people to be generous. You know what I've noticed through the years? That the people who yearn for someone to give to them are most likely people who aren't willing to give of themselves. And look, it's not something that we should hate in somebody. We should pity it. But you know what I found out? People who are giving often are easily given to. The Bible says give. Be generous. Give and it shall be given unto you. It continues in verse 38. You need to see this. Give and it shall be given unto you good measure. That phrase good measure. A good bunch. A good measure. A little measure would be just a little bit in your hand. A good measure would be all you could get in two hands. The Bible says, give and shall be given you good measure. It doesn't stop there. Shaken together. Running over. The Bible says, look, if you become generous, God and others are going to be generous with you. This little phrase reminds me of popcorn. How many of you ever had popcorn at a concession stand? Let me talk to you about popcorn at a concession stand. When I get popcorn at a concession stand, I want the whole bag full. I mean, if you're like me, you're like, I want the whole bag full. So, you know, when you get popcorn at a concession, all the bags are folded and stacked nice, you know. And if somebody does that thing right, they grab that bag and they shake it out, and that thing opens up wide, right? And they hold it gently at the bottom, and they take the scoop, and they fill that popcorn bag all the way full. Then they take it, and they pound it on the counter. Okay, it's going to sink down in there. It's going to shake together. And then you get some more, and you put some more in there. And if they did it right, when they bring it out of the popcorn machine, there's kernels falling off of it because they're getting as much as they can possibly get. That's how you're supposed to do it. How many of you have been terribly aggravated when somebody hands you a bag of popcorn and they must have been holding the bag tight and squeezing the bottom of it when they're filling it up because they barely gave you any? I almost think that they need to get the bag and shake it out and go, blow it full. Just kidding. What the Bible says, generous people will be treated generously. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, a big scoopful. You see it? Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. The Bible says, shall men give into your bosom. For, with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. You see that phrase? With the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Hey, look, the way you treat other people, it's going to come back. Does it come back 100% of the time? Nope. But this is a wonderful principle to live by. God's people should be generous, mercy. I never forget going through the lunch line. And when I was gracious and kind to those dear ladies, you know what happened? They were gracious and kind with me. And it still works. It's still right. It's still the best way to live. You know what God's called all of us to do? Be merciful. Be merciful. Judge not. Condemn not. Forgive. Give. And you're going to find out it's the best way to live.